I'm sorry. I took your love lightly. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, who am I that you are mine? Your love is God's great sign. Who am I that you are mine? Your love is God's great sign. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? All of the pain that I've been through all goes away every night that I call on you. All of my life I wish I knew I could be at your shrine if I just cried for you. You were my first love on this earth. My heart has been burning for you ever since birth. With my last breath, I want to see your face above, telling me that you accept me. I wish I was in Karbala. For you I'd go instead of the son of Layla. My chest for you until today is a shield. I hope to die while on your way. Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. And everyone together, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Who am I that you are mine? Your love is God's great sign. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. And who am I that you are mine? Your love is God's great sign. For the one with no friends on his own, You come to his side when he's alone. I call out to you. You respond to me. Oh, Hussein. Oh, Hussein. Say with me, I'm sorry. I took your love lightly. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, who am I that you are mine? Your love is God's great sign. When the world throws everything my way, from your path my heart begins to sway. Keep me close to you, don't get rid of me. Keep me close to you, don't get rid of me. Oh, Hussein, oh, Hussein, I'm in need. I must be freed from the chains of my greed. Oh, Hussein, oh, Hussein, I'm in need. I must be freed from the chains of my greed. Oh, Hussein, oh, Hussein, say with me, I'm sorry. I took your love lightly. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, who am I that you are mine? Your love is God's great sign. Who that you are mine? Your love is God's great sign. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? All of the pain that I've been through all goes away every night that I call on you. All of my life I wish I knew I could be at your shrine if I just cried for you. You were my first love on this earth. My heart has been burning for you ever since birth. With my last breath, I want to see your face above, telling me that you accept me. I wish I was.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, Sheikh Osama. Inshallah, we would like to welcome you once again to our Muharram program. Inshallah, I would like to welcome our dear brother Ali Hamdani for some recitation from the Holy Quran. Please help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ياسين والقرآن الحكيم. إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم. تنزيل العزيز الرحيم. لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون. إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمهون. وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. وسواء عليهم أنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم. إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحسيناه في إمام مبين. وضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون. إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون. قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء إن أنتم إلا تكذبون. قالوا ربنا يعلم إنا إليكم لمرسلون وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين. قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم. قالوا طائركم معكم أئن ذكرتم بل أنتم قوم مسرفون. وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين. اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون. أتخذوا من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Before allowing our brother and being blessed with our brother Hassan Salim's poetry, inshallah, if we could all please recite Surah Al-Fatiha for Hani Habib, Abu Shadi Habib, Al-Marhum Yusuf Ibrahim Bazzi, Abu Fadi Bazzi, our brother Haj Yusuf Shami, all the Shuhada, Imam Khomeini, the righteous scholars who have passed, and the Marhamun of all of those here, inshallah. Bismillah. Inshallah, with that, if we could please help me welcome our dear brother Hassan Salim with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, to our respected teacher, Sheikh Osama. We renew our condolences to the Imam of the time, to the leader, to all of the maraja, to all of the righteous ulama. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for another night mourning our master Hussein. As the respected Sheikh touched on yesterday, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when speaking to his companions, he gave them the option to leave. And in doing so, it reminds us in our time that the 12th Imam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his reappearance, in reality, he doesn't need us and we need him. And we need to align ourselves in connecting with him and striving to be with him. And like Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam made the offer to his companions to leave, if the 12th Imam made the same offer to us, may we answer the call the same way the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam answered that call. And the only way to do that, inshallah, is to take our faith seriously. So when that test comes, inshallah, we are like the companions of Imam al-Hussein. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Flickering light in the darkest of nights. A man prepares himself for the journey from this life. Can you imagine the scene? Draped in a green cloak, armor soon to be blood-soaked, quietly he approached his companions and spoke, "Tomorrow will be the slaughter. Tomorrow will be the day when the ignorant kill the scholars, when the souls of Yazid's men will be sold for a few measly dollars." Clenching Ruqayya, he said, "Tomorrow will be the slaughter, and if you remain until the morning hours, your cracked and dry lips will remain deprived of water, and these burning sands will only get hotter. There is no shame in leaving now, and if you are afraid or embarrassed that your absence will show, just wait for this candle to be blown out and then go. It is me they want, you know. It is me they want, you know. It is my head they want to place upon a spear. There is no reason for your loved ones too to be shedding their tears. Your loyalty is not in question, so leave now while you still can. I've made clear my intentions. You have fulfilled your duty to me in standing up against this oppression, so leave now with no penalty upon you, and I send you off in God's protection." And with a breath from his holy lips, the ones that he used to kiss the holy prophet with, the candle's flame was extinguished. with nothing left but dark. Nothing left that could be distinguished. And in the silence, a voice responded to their imam, "You are right, our master. Tomorrow will be the slaughter. But how can you ask us to leave you alone when we claim to follow your father? Tomorrow will be the slaughter. But please don't deprive us of this honor. Tomorrow will be the slaughter. But how can you deprive us from Fatima's water? Tomorrow will be the slaughter. So allow us to quench our thirst from the stream of Kauthar with permission of Muhammad's daughter. The universe watched this caravan of love." And the sands began whispering, wishing they could swallow the enemy's camp from under them. The white moon glistening, as Abbas's face still shining, the sun staying as long as it can in hiding, afraid of the next morning and what it would invite. And scorching by the middle of this day and long after its dawn, only the sun was left to watch over a lady in black who would continuously call on, "O Hussein, where have you gone? O Hussein, where have you gone?" She would say, "Today is the day you were slaughtered, and the night could not prolong its hours. These chains upon my arms, my new companions, your family, O grandfather, has been abandoned. The moon has lost its arms, and the sun has lost its head. Both Abbas and Hussein are dead. If only they would have taken me instead, but they will never bring your message to an end. And with my life, Ali ibn al-Hussein, I will defend. We have shown that death in the way of truth is not misery. That death is greater than a life without liberty. For they will never erase us from history. And the 10th of Muharram, Ya Hussein, your sacrifice gave us victory. And the 10th of Muharram, Ya Hussein, your sacrifice gave us victory. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. A breath. He exhaled from sacred lips, whipped. The wind would, as it willowed with emptiness, fit. His father's sword drawn from his sheath. So they would remember that battlefield skills like this only Ali could teach. Walked. His noble feet made footprints in the sand, so no one could claim the straight path wasn't always clear across the land. For in this man's very body, the Holy Prophet would stand. Sparks. The embers of the camp's fire burned, churning. The adrenaline in hearts of these warriors were spurning away from the love of this dunya, and for something else they were yearning. Returning was no longer an option, for once you see the truth, you cannot turn back unless it is to join the rear troops of the Qamar Abbas. So once you see Hussein, there is no going back. For could you really turn down that woman in black, waiting, counting, to see who helps her sons and brothers, to give word on the last day to her mother and whisper in her ear, "If you left Mahdi or stayed standing, if you loved the Prophet or were consumed by Prophet, if you stood principled like Ali or you were bought cheaply for money, if you abandoned the 12th Imam like they did to Imam Hassan, if you fled from God's message and ignored your kafan, if your face shined in salat and beautifully shimmered, or were inside you were a beast capable of sitting on his chest like Shimr, like Hussein, did you die with dignity or did you live with humiliation? Did you fear the Creator or just his creations? Did you stand up at the right time or did you just sit idly by and let the evil ones continue to commit their crimes? Look around you. Look around you. What differs from the time we live in now and Hussein's time back then? Propaganda and lies. They called Hussein an extremist and used so much deception. Is it really different from the imperialist powers who've created Islamophobia to accomplish their objectives? They spread so much horror and terror in the name of justice and democracy, it's overwhelming. So we must all stop pretending that Karbala has ever stopped. Because it has continued with every single ticking of that clock. They infiltrate our communities and convince us that if we stand up politically for the truth, we are terrorists, even though their false pretexts and claims have no proof to stand on. Yet we still allow the fear to fill our hearts like whispers of shaitan. They delude Islam to a form where the revolutionary spirit does not belong. Then they use puppets with Muslim names and faces to pass their agendas along. Corruption has poisoned us so much where Muslims have become the first ones drinking, singing, and dancing to the tune of forbidden songs. We live in sin, thinking that we can repent later on and that this life is forever long. But for us to follow our Imam, our faith must be pure and our hearts must be strong. And that only happens through taqwa, obeying the wajib and not committing the haram. It's not just crying 10 nights in Shahr Ramadan. Hussein did not sacrifice his life. Zainab did not ask to prolong the night. Zahra did not have her ribs broken. Ali wasn't struck in prayer. Hassan wasn't poisoned. Sajjad and the rest of the imams down the line didn't endure so much torture and crimes so we could end up just like the people of Kufa. Praying is not enough. A little charity is not going to do it. Knowledge of hadith and Quran is nothing unless you use it. But once we can, but only once we can, happily greet the angel of death or our imam, will we know if we are ready to go. And if we work hard on purifying our souls, only then can we utilize the ark that has salvation equipped. And to change our ways, we know that all of the Ahlul Bayt will get us there on this divine trip. However, even they assure you that no one will get you there as quick than when you strive with your life to board Hussein's ship. Than when you strive with your life to board Hussein's ship. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.
Hassan, salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, just a few announcements. The 8th annual Ashura procession will be happening this upcoming Sunday at 9:30. Mu'mineen are asked to assemble at the Fortson School and walk towards Ford Woods Park. Also, Al Ajal presents its poetry slam, The Roar of Karbala, at 9:45 p.m. on August 7th at the Zainabia Center of Michigan. There are still some spots open, and inshallah, you could reach through them on their Instagram page or other avenues. Please stay tuned for upcoming announcements and different programs and more information through our social media and our WhatsApp groups. We also want to remind the parents that the children are... We want them to feel very welcome, and this is a place where, inshallah, we welcome and we praise the parents for bringing their children. The downstairs area is open for parents if the children need a little bit more room and to let some energy go and to talk with their friends. We do ask parents, just a reminder, that, inshallah, the parents should be going down with their children, and they... are just for safety reasons, they can't just leave the children there by themselves, inshallah. Salla ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And lastly, just before welcoming Sheikh, I just wanted to remind everybody and just inform you, yesterday we had a video of the Seeds for Hussein campaign. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to expand and grow in this building. Last year, with the support of you mu'mineen and the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were able to buy the house next door and we were able to have a playground for our students that come here in our Montessori school and also our different programs. And alhamdulillah, a huge blessing happened recently where the house adjacent to that house has also sold and that we alhamdulillah acquired. And we have a campaign that we are trying to raise funds for. So inshallah, if you are willing and you are willing to support, inshallah, there's different methods through online ways to pay and to donate. And inshallah, this is a great opportunity for all of us to support this initiatives and inshallah have it sadaqa jariya, where inshallah even when we go, we will still be reaping the benefits inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And inshallah now, so we could inshallah benefit more and learn how to gain that tranquil soul. If you could all please help me welcome Sheikh Osama with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to each and every one of you. Also, I appreciate the presence of our ulama visiting and showing their support for the efforts that we have here. To be honest with you, brothers and sisters, one of the best parts about this program for me is the presence of you believers, and amongst the other things, the poetry that we have in the beginning. Why the poetry? Is it about a particular brother, a particular? No, there's something else that needs to happen in order for a revolution to take place, in order for the Imam to return. In order for the Imam to return, brothers and sisters, these discussions that we're having, these thoughts that we're trying to share with one another, need to become discourse for us amongst ourselves. When this is not just something which is said by an individual on the minbar, but rather believers, the next generation, they start sharing the words, connecting the dots. That's when we know that we're moving in the right direction. These small children who we see in our majlis, who are happy to come and to beat their chest and to remember Imam Hussein and to be part of the Latmiyah, this is a sign that inshallah we're moving in the right direction. So we start with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, brothers and sisters, as you know, this year the lecture series is all about tranquility, to practically take the steps to experience Allah's best. We took inspiration from that verse where Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna. And we know that Aba Abdullah is the true tranquil soul. So what we've been trying to do is to sit at the feet of our master, to learn from him. I want to take, brothers and sisters, briefly to Karbala to see our master and that tranquil soul in action. Brothers and sisters, there's a story that Imam Sajjad tells. When I mention the line of poetry, some of you will remember that line of poetry. The Imam says, on the eve of Ashura, so the night before that epic battle, he says that my father was in one area and my aunt was taking care of me. The Imam is ill, the Imam is sick, my aunt Zainab, Sayyidah Zainab, is taking care of me, the Imam is in another area. He says that my father sat and started to sharpen his sword. He's preparing himself for that epic battle, that battle like no other. And he says that my father started to repeat some lines of poetry. He said these lines two times, maybe three times. The lines of poetry begin in this way: Ya dahru uffin laka min khalili. O time, you are a terrible friend. The imam was listening to the lines of poetry by his father. He said, immediately I got it. I realized what was about to happen. I realized that the calamity had started to descend. The imam says, I forced myself, because the tears started rolling down my face, but I forced myself to cry silently. He said, but the reaction for my auntie, Sayyida Zainab, was very different. She started to cry. She said that those words that you said, those are the words of someone who has yaqeen that they're going to die. Imam Hussein said, yes. She couldn't take it. She said, I lost my grandfather. I lost my father. I lost my brother. And then now, Hussein is consoling himself about death. The imam says, the other women who were there, they were also listening. In the hadith, it says that they were also grieving. They were crying. They started to strike their faces out of grief, wailing. At this stage, the tranquil soul. The imam approached his sister. He consoled his sister. He reminded her to be pleased with Allah's decree. So brothers and sisters, what we're trying to get over this Muharram is that Quranic tranquility, that peace, that submission. So brothers and sisters, what we're hoping to do over the course of these nights is to take some practical steps. There is a faith that you and I can have, a faith where we can believe under duress. We can weather the storm. We can literally see that the ship is about to hit the rocks, but we're calm and we're composed. We know that God is with us. There's some people, when they go through tragedy, the more complicated it gets, the more crazy it gets, the more unfair it is, they remind themselves of Allah's promise. And Allah said this in the Quran, فَعَصَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Perhaps you dislike something. Perhaps you hate something. Perhaps it's not fair. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. But Allah has put great good and what seems like a tragedy. When this happens, we can start to express that true trait of taqwa. Amirul Mu'mineen has told us what real taqwa is like. How do we know if we have taqwa? What are the signs of true, real taqwa? The Imam sets the bar very high. The imam, when he's talking about that man of taqwa, that woman of taqwa, the mu'mina, the person who enjoys this sifa, he says, فِزَّلَازِلِ waqur. How do I know if I have taqwa? He says, the person who has taqwa in the midst of earthquakes, they're dignified. He says, وَفِي الْمَكَارِهِ sabur. In the midst of calamity, this person has great patience. The test, the difficulties, that's when we show God who we really are. That happens when we're expecting God's best, when we know the difficulty happens for a reason, and we serve a good God. Salawat, please. Salawat. Muhammad. It's also appropriate that I remind ourselves of some of the statements of our legendary shuhada. One of the things that Shahid Qasim Soleimani shared, and he said, I'm sharing this out of experience. He says, in the time of crisis, when things get really crazy, the opportunity that's there during the time of crisis is different than just any regular situation. Brothers and sisters, he mentions there is a condition though. In the time of crisis, the Shaheed said, don't be afraid. Don't make anyone else afraid. Instead, the mu'min or mu'mina, we heard the promise of Allah in the Quran. The idea that in that difficulty is great good. This is an opportunity to experience even more of Allah's goodness. Now the mu'min or mu'mina, in that time of calamity, needs to start looking. Where is the silver lining? So, our question, brothers and sisters, is how? We know that this is a reality. It is one of those gifts that Allah has for the mu'min. By the way, brothers and sisters, there are several gifts that if we can gather the traits together, there are several gifts that God wants to give the believer in this world. Tranquility, Quranic tranquility, that's one of the gifts. That's not the only gift for this world, before the hereafter. Yes, in the hereafter, Jannah. What about here? If we're able to get the characteristics together, the promised land is Iman. There's 30, perhaps 40 promises of God for believers to enjoy here. But of course, it goes back to us. The question of how, what do we have to do? So, and when we talk about these conditions, because we've been going over them and we're in no rush, some of them we need to hear the ayat of the Quran. It needs to be presented to us. We need to present ourselves to Quran and Sunnah, to Ahlul Bayt, to try to see what is it that we can learn. But the promised land is there. It's now up to us. So brothers and sisters, to recap and then to move forward. In order for us to get Quranic Iman, there were some things that we learned we had to do. If brothers and sisters remember, there was one last fort that we had to conquer. But what are the conditions in order for you and I to be considered a mu'min according to Quran? There's some conditions. There are three conditions in order for you and I to be considered mu'min according to Quran. The first one, brothers and sisters, is that you and I have to choose Islam for ourselves. Islam has to be a choice. It has to be something that we've chosen. I call it intellectual conviction. Not that I follow this deen because of my forefathers, because everyone around me is a mu'min. The faith that we're hoping that the children who come through our school, that they have that deep faith, is one where we're not afraid that if their faith is exposed to any sort of outside challenge, that their faith will dissipate. The faith that we're looking for from a Quranic point of view is that kind of faith, that kind of conviction, which is so strong, I am able to rescue sinners. Intellectual conviction. It's a choice that I've made. The other one that we covered, some of the ayat of the Quran, were the idea that faith produces action in Islam. It's not mental acrobatics. That yes, I can tell you 10 different ways why Imam Ali is the Imam. Rather, it's going to be a faith, life-giving faith that produces action. And the last one, which was really important, is that in Islam, there is no... Islam is a package. Islam is a package. Islam isn't a continental breakfast.
There is no vegetarian Islam. There is no Islam light. Rather, as our brother mentioned in the poetry, the duties, the obligations, the wajibat, that's our part of the deal. If I don't do that, if I refuse to do that, then yes, I will never experience peace. I'll never experience tranquility. Remember, in the time of Nabi Musa, the wali of Allah had told them, the promised land is right over there. All you've got to do is enter the promised land. The mu'mineen, although the wali of God had told them, everything you ever wanted, it's in the promised land. All you have to do is to take that step. We learn from the ayat of the Quran, two generations wandered in the desert. 40 years. And the Imam tells us they were right next to the promised land. So that was a little bit about our part. Now, what we had talked about, what we started discussing last time, was the idea that there's one last fortress. There's one last stronghold. And for people like myself, this is the most difficult stronghold. The stronghold where marhab resides. We learned a Quranic principle that until this stronghold is conquered, we're going to be sitting where we are. We might be, instead of us being the generation who welcome Imam Mahdi, we could be like Bani Israel, 40 years sitting in the same place, having the same majalis. It's up to us to conquer that last fort. The principle that we learned from the Quran was this: وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, whoever turns away from my reminder, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ, this person will be completely miserable. So we learned that we need to make sure that we're in line with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what was that fortress? The fortress that we talked about was our hearts, the qalb. There's a reason why, and I'm going to share one of the verses of the Quran, why is it that people, knowing the goodness that's there, everything you ever wanted, why is it that someone would choose misery? Sometimes you see this. You even see this in sports, where someone would rather lose doing it their way than experience. I'd have to change my method in order to win. For some people, I'd rather lose doing it my way. That last fortress needs to be conquered. What have the Ahlul Bayt said about the last fortress? The Imam says this: Al-Qalbu Haramullah. The heart is the shrine of God. Our heart is the house of God. The Imam warns us: Fala tuskin haramullah ghayrullah. Don't allow anyone other than Allah to reside in that shrine. Your heart belongs to God. What happens, brothers and sisters, is that for 300 years now, the West has been the dominant culture. Many of our brothers and sisters who are here because of what the West has done to their homelands. All over the world, the dominant power, and it's shifted hands through time. At one time, it was Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was based in Africa. At one time, there's been Nimrud, but for 300 years now, Kufr has been led by the West. When you've been led for 300 years, it's natural for people to slowly embrace some of the ideas of kufr. I talked yesterday about the idea of decolonizing the mind. Because sometimes what happens is certain fossilized ideas from the West have taken root in our hearts, For some people, they still don't find it within them to cast out the fossilized ideas so they can experience God's best. Sometimes it's our own biases and diseases of the soul. So one part of it is decolonizing the mind. Believing that Islam is supreme and taking God as our wali in all areas. The other part of it, of course, is that battle within the soul. So, brothers and sisters, now an ayat of Quran. God is explaining why it is that some people don't experience his best. What would stop some? Why would a wise person not walk through the door? God says in the Quran. This is Surah 24 and verse number 50. What happens is, a little context to the story. God says, describes a group of individuals. He says these individuals were such that if Islam was on their side, if Islam said what they wanted, these people would come rushing over, Qala Rasulullah, Ya Allah, the Prophet has spoken, don't you hear? The same group of people, though, if it was the case that Allah and the Messenger decided differently than their inclination, their fossilized ideas, their hopes and dreams, these people would turn away from Rasulullah. And the Quran is very clear. It says in Arabic that they, مَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They're not mu'mineen. Then God says, well, why? Why is it that someone wouldn't walk through the door? God gives three reasons. Surah 24 and verse number 50. God says, "Afi qulubihim marav." Is it that the hearts are diseased? Sometimes, misery loves company. I'm so addicted to what I'm doing. The heart's so diseased. This doesn't allow me to experience God's best. Instead of me being that kind of person who will be honest with myself, I've got a problem. What God says is right. I've got to address this. The marad in the heart stops the person from experiencing God's best. What else? God says this. Amirtabu. Sometimes, no, it's worse. Sometimes there's doubt about Allah's religion. Doubt about what happens if I do it God's way. And other times, even worse than that, is when the person is afraid of God. If I do it God's way, I'm going to lose. Ayat of Quran. Am yakhafoon. Are they afraid? أَنْ يَحِيفَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. That God and His Messenger will do dhulm to them. They'll wrong them. I'll be wronged if I make myself vulnerable and if I submit to Allah. So, what we learned is that we have to submit to Allah in His entirety. We're trying to get our hearts ready for those areas of challenge. We have to remember that God is our maker. God is the legislator. God is free of all need. Any rule he makes is in our favor. We have to remind ourselves of these truths. Now, I'm going to mention something. What I'd like to mention, brothers and sisters, is a part of what happens with the colonized mind. When the mind is colonized, we look for approval. We look to find others agreeing with what we say. They mention this about Imam Khomeini. The leader mentions this about Imam Khomeini. He says that before Imam Khomeini came on the scene, those who would write about Islam would try to find a way that Islam fit with socialism. That Islam was saying the same thing. Instead of taking socialism apart, using Islam as the standard, Islam is supreme. Let's measure every other idea with Islam. When the mind is colonized, the other way seems supreme. I'm trying to find a way to fit in. The opposite now from the ayat of the Quran. The way that we introduce Islam to ourselves, before we get to the difficult challenge of the Ahlul Bayt, is the idea that Islam is supreme. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best nation who's ever been brought forth for the people. Islam should be the standard. Instead of me finding, if the West agrees, let's raise Islam on the pillar. If the West agrees, well, good for them. Not that I'm happy, pleased. It's okay now. I'm able to challenge them. I see them and their ideas as man-made. Now the challenge. If I want to experience God's best, this is something for now, those ideological teachers to keep in mind. I'm going to mention some of those challenges later. The Ahlul Bayt want us to be in such a way that we take their words as the standard. What they say is truth. Anything else we can take apart. We don't rely on anyone but God. This is one of the du'as, brothers and sisters, that we're supposed to be reciting every week. One line of it is this. Imam Sajjad tells us this. He says, وَلَا أَعْتَمِدُ إِلَّا قَوْلَهُ. Oh Allah, I trust nothing. I trust nothing but His word. If I want to measure anything, the standard is Quran. The Ahlul Bayt have taught us in hadith. They tell us, they say that, go east and west. شَرِّقَ وَغَرِّبَ. Go east and west. You will not find any correct knowledge except that it's come from us, Ahlul Bayt. So now, before we go to Karbala, some areas for us to think about. Some areas to see, are we prepared to challenge the current worldview? When it comes to the Ahlul Bayt and what they did, the idea that they're the standard, the idea that we trust nothing but what they say. I'm going to mention some areas where the Ahlul Bayt, let's see if are we on the side of Ahlul Bayt or not. Brothers and sisters, did the Ahlul Bayt have slaves? Yes or no? I see everybody's falling asleep. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, remember what we're trying to do. What's the purpose of this whole exercise? I want to experience Allah's best. If I want to experience Allah's best, can I do it if I don't embrace all of Islam? I can't. Islam is the standard. Absolutely. Are there some areas which are difficult and challenging and go against Western culture? Absolutely. Now back to some of these questions. And believe me, I'm only going to ask a few of the questions. Right? It's just, again, do I only trust what God says? Do I believe in what He says? Do I use that as the standard? Or is it that I'm uncomfortable? So now back to the question. Because you and I, when we think of slavery, we think of American chattel slavery. American chattel slavery. The misery that we've seen for the African American population. That's not slavery in Islam. Slavery in Islam is Qambar and Imam Ali. That he gives him his clothes. He says, you're a young man. But before we do that, let's just take it back a step. Is there slavery in Islam? Were many of the mothers of the imams slave women? And we can't imagine their status with God. Many of the mothers of the imams were slave women. Let me mention a few more idols and then we'll move on. What does Islam say about Western psychology and Western psychiatry? It's so easy for us. Mental health. What does Islam say about mental health? Right? Is our approach just going to be, I'm just going to take whatever the West says and just sprinkle a few hadith? Or do I want to experience God's best? Can I challenge these modern idols? Can I find out what Ahlul Bayt have said? At least have the discussion. Not get emotional about it. So, other challenges that are there. In Islam, is there a concept called polygamy? A lot of these areas, some Muslims start to fidget and get, right? I don't embrace Raditu Billahi Rabba. That hasn't happened yet. In Islam, do we have that concept of doing al-amr bil-ma'ruf and nahyin al-munkar? Or do we say it's none of my business? Do I think of myself as a good Muslim or Muslima? Right? When I watch someone misbehave and I don't speak up. Again, these are areas I'm going to mention, and I'm going to end now because I don't want to get somebody rush the minbar and try and take me down. Now, by the way, if anybody is thinking about rushing the minbar, I know taekwondo. More questions. How old was Imam Ali when he married Sayyida Fatima? These are some areas where people are not yet ready to think about, right? But I'm going to summarize because now we're going to go to Karbala. The lesson we're trying to learn for ourselves, brothers and sisters, was the idea that in Islam, it was intellectual conviction. It's all of Islam. We don't want to be that ideological teacher who's the first person to be like the second caliph and say, right? And this is known in the books. He says, Mut'atan kanata ala ahdi Rasulullah. In time of Rasulullah, there were two types of mut'ah. Wa ana uharrimuhuma. Ana uharrimuhuma. I forbid them. Wa uaqibu alayhima. I will punish anybody who does this. We don't, as Muslim, do I have the jur'ah to stand up to God and His laws? Or is it as Imam Ali says, Al-Islam huwa taslim. Now, brothers and sisters, we've now crossed that bridge, inshallah. We're going to, inshallah, go to Karbala. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifina'ik alayka minni salamullahi abadan ma baqit wa baqiya al-laylu wa nahar ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. For the love of our mother, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. For the love of her sons, Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam, another salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم صلى الله عليك يا أيها الشهيد بكربلاء May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet, and the Ahlul Bayt. It was in your homes that Allah blessed us with guidance and revelation. And upon you descend the angels day in, day out. Tonight, brothers and sisters, is the sixth night of Muharram. Night by night, our eyes will shed more tears for the martyrs of Karbala. When these words echo from these walls, a lady in black garments joins us. This is Fatima. Ya Zahra, see how we mourn your son. Our tears will never be done. See how we mourn your son. See how we mourn your son. The sun rose and the sun set. The children cry with no rest, but only in your heart, Hussein. But only in your heart, Hussein. Day by day, the scene in Karbala is changing. Thousands have gathered to kill Hussein, while only 72 stand with him. Zainab worries if the men will stay by her brother's side. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Zainab, my sister, falsehood can buy many supporters, but truth has only a few friends. The soldiers on the other side have been bought. They prefer happiness in this world than in the world of the hereafter. My 72 truthful men prefer the happiness in the hereafter. Imam Hussein writes a letter to his childhood friend, Habib ibn Madahir, who was in Kufa. Kufa at the time was blocked off and nobody was allowed to leave. Habib did not know the whereabouts of Imam Hussein until the letter from Hussein arrived at his house. Habib reads the letter of Imam Hussein. He kisses it and tears begin to flow from his eyes. His wife asks, "What has befallen you, my Habib?" Habib says, "I have received a letter from my master Hussein. He has asked me to join him in Karbala." Habib's wife says, "Habib, your childhood friend has called you. Your master needs your help. What are you waiting for, Habib? Go, Habib, go before it is too late." Habib says farewell to his wife and leaves to his Mawla Hussein. He instructs his slave to take his horse outside the city and wait for him there. The slave takes his horse and waits for his Habib. Habib was delayed, and so the slave speaks to the horse, "Our master Hussein is in trouble. He has asked my master Habib to join him. Master Habib is late. If he does not manage to escape from Kufa, I will ride on you and go to Imam Hussein's help." Soon after, Habib arrives. He quickly mounts his horse and says to his slave, "Go, my friend, go. I am freeing you." The slave says, "You are not being fair. I have served you faithfully for years. Now I have the chance to serve the son of Fatima, and you are asking me to go. Why are you denying me a place in heaven?" Habib was pleased to hear the words of his slave. Together they gallop towards Karbala. Habib reaches Karbala late in the evening. Imam Hussein greets him with great affection. Zainab heard that Habib had come. She asked Fidha to convey her greetings to Habib. When Habib heard that Zainab had sent greetings to him, he cried out in grief, and tears rolled down his cheeks as he spoke, "What calamity has befell the household of Fatima? How does the princess of Ali and Zahra send her greetings to an ordinary person like me?" The day of Ashura comes, and one by one the companions fall. Imam Hussein, his brother Abbas, and his son Ali al-Akbar bring the bodies back to the tents. Habib requests his friend Hussein. He says, "My master Hussein, allow me to go to the battlefield." "Habib, my childhood friend, stay with me. You give comfort to me, my friend." Habib persisted with his request. Eventually, Hussein gave his permission. Hussein mounted his friend Habib on the horse. Habib rode into the battlefield.
He took his sword and killed many, but just like the rest, he's now bloody. Call to your Lord, O Habib. Call to your Lord, O Habib. Habib endured many wounds on his body and falls to the ground. He calls to his master, Wa Husayna, Wa Husayna, Wa Husayna. Oh, was the destiny of the beloved of Hussein's camp to have so many special guests, just like the wife of Habib? The women of Karbala were courageous in defending their men. There was a companion, there was another companion by the name of Wahab. Wahab was a Christian man but became Muslim in Karbala. He heard the story of Imam Hussein, and how could a heart that yearns for the truth not be in the camp of Hussein? Wahab asks his mother, Mother, what should I do? The mother asks Wahab, how do you feel yourself, my son? Wahab says, surely Hussein is on the just path, and my heart yearns to join him, even if it means death. At first, his wife was hesitant to let Wahab go, but Wahab proceeded to the battlefield. On the day of Ashura, Wahab had entered the battlefield and fights until he kills many soldiers and wounds others. He returns to the camp to bid his final farewell to his mother. He says, are you pleased with me, my dear mother? She replies to him, I will not be pleased with you until you die defending Abu Abdullah. Wahab returned to the battlefield and continued fighting. As he was fighting, he hears a voice calling him. He turns around to see who it was and sees his wife yelling to him, Oh, Wahab, fight for the sake of the noble household of Rasulullah. Wahab comes to his wife and says, this is strange, for a short while ago you were urging me not to fight, and now you are encouraging me to defend them until I am killed. She replies, Oh Wahab, don't blame me. Oh Wahab, don't blame me. My heart was torn by the words of Imam Hussein. I overheard him saying, how are we so alone? Is there no one else that will come to support us? His words wounded my heart. Wahab continues to fight valiantly until eventually he falls. Umar ibn Sa'd orders his soldiers to cut Wahab's head and throw it to his mother. Wahab's mother comes forward. She picks up his severed head. She wipes the dust off his forehead. She kisses it and throws it back, saying, this was the sadaqah given away in Allah's way, and it will not be taken back. Wa Husayna, وحسينا 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 وغريبا ومظلوما وحسينا 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 إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون Ya Allah, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, send your mercy upon the deceased of the believing men and women. We ask you by Hussein to fulfill the needs of those in attendance of the Majlis. Ya Allah, hasten the reappearance of the Imam of our time. And for the health and well-being of all those suffering in our Ummah, let us recite, Amma yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ahu ikshif al-su' Amma yujibu al-muttarra wa yakshif al-su' Amma yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ahu ikshif al-su' Amma yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ahu أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلوات على محمد وآل محمد Inshallah, with three more loud salawat, let us please arrange the chairs and arrange ourselves in lines for the latmiya. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Look, O Hussein, you are all alone. There's no one here for you to call. No one to lift you when you fall. All of your companions have gone. Look, O Hussein, you are all alone. Look, O Hussein, you are all alone. Look, O Hussein, you are all alone, all alone. My body's broken, my heart is torn, My body's broken, my heart is torn. I am not alone, I am not alone. My body's broken. My body's broken, my heart is torn. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken. My heart is torn. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken, my heart is torn. My body's broken, my heart is torn. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. Since when was I ever alone? I led the greatest army known, and every soldier that I command has placed his life squarely in my hand. And this is my testament to time. No one ever had soldiers like mine. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken, my heart is torn. My body's broken, my heart is torn. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken, my heart is torn. My body's broken, my heart is torn. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. Look in the distance, here comes Habib. He's left everything to be with me. And when I pray in the battlefield, look as Saeed becomes a shield. I swear it by each arrow in his chest that each of my soldiers are the best. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken, my body's broken, my heart is torn. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken, my heart is torn. My body's broken, my heart is torn. I'm not alone. Look at the valor of my youth. Look at this army of 72. Each one in my love is fully blind. Each claims to be standing first in line. And Hur will leave you just as he can. But no one left to the side of Hussein. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken, my heart is torn. My body's broken, my heart is torn. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken, my heart is torn. My body's broken, my I'm not alone. And sure there will come a time to pass when each of them will have breathed their last. And at that moment I'll draw my sword. The son of Haydar fights for his Lord. All of creation has now been shown. Soldiers of God are never alone. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. My body's broken, my heart is torn. My body's broken, my heart is torn. I'm not alone, I'm not alone, I'm not alone, I'm not alone. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. سيد مولا حسين, the peace of our hearts Hussein, on the lips of your lovers, Ya Hussein, oh Ya Hussein, you're always in our mind, oh son of Ali, you're always in our mind, oh son of Ali, بنفسي أنت وأهلي ومالي, بنفسي أنت وأهلي مالي. Lamenting you, my Mola, we cry out all our tears with the martyrs on these nights. We've cried for you all these years. Artists cry out for your thirst by the river. Our tears cry out for your thirst by the river. The love of Zahra was left with no helper. The love of Zahra was half with no helper. With wilaya we remain, our life is from Karbala. The path of Quds is through there. Come, O lovers, Bismillah. We will not leave the side of our wali. We will not leave the side of our wali. Our father, our leader, Sayyid Ali. Our father, our leader, Sayyid Ali. We're preparing yet again for another Ashura. Come back to us, Ya Mahdi, another son of Zahra, the friend of those in need, Baqiyat Allah. The friend of those in need, Baqiyat Allah. Al-ajal, al-ajal, ya hujjat Allah. Al-ajal, al-ajal, ya hujjat Allah. Sayyidu Mawla Hussein, the peace of our hearts Hussein, on the lips of your lovers, Ya Hussein, oh Ya Hussein, you're always in our mind, oh son of Ali, you're always in our mind, oh son of Ali, بنفسي أنت وأهلي ومالي, بنفسي أنت وأهلي ومالي. لبيك يا حسين, لبيك يا حسين, لبيك يا حسين.
صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله, السلام عليك يا ابن أمير
المؤمنين السلام عليك يا ابن الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله ورحمة الله وبركاته دعاء فرج اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. Inshallah, the same time tomorrow we'll be starting, 7 p.m., doors open. Inshallah, these few nights, inshallah, we're going to end early. That way people could get in back home for Salah. But inshallah, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we will be praying together, inshallah. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? All of the pain that I've been through all goes away every night that I call on you. All of my life I wish I knew I could be at your shrine if I just cried for you. You were my first love on this earth. My heart has been burning for you ever since birth. With my last breath, I want to see your face above, telling me that you accept me. I wish I was in Karbala. For you I'd go instead of the son of Layla. My chest for you until today is a shield. I hope to die while on your way. Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. And everyone together, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Who am I
that you are mine. Your love is God's great sign. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, who am I that you are mine? Your love is God's great sign.